We continue while learning the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shem Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Elio. We're increasing his Perek Vav Mishnah Beis. Asham Vadai Eino Kein. The Asham Vadai, where you bring an Asham where it's a when you're bringing it out of certainty, as opposed to Asham Toloi, does not follow the rules of the Asham Toloi. So let's remind ourselves of the Asham Toloi. In the previous Mishnah, we said if a person brought an Asham Toloi and he realized that he didn't sin. So there we had a machlokis, Rabbi Meir and the Chacham, and what to do. Rabbi Meir says, if you didn't shech the animal yet, so then you're fine. Let the animal go out and graze with his friends, and you don't have to do anything. There's no kedusha to the animal at all. The Chachamim said, no, yirachi yistayf. Now that animal can graze, but it has to wait till it develops a moment. You have to sell it and use the money to buy karbanos. There is kedusha in the animal. Why is there kedusha in the Asham Tali if you realize you didn't need to bring it at all because you didn't sin? There's no suffix here anymore. That's because the Chachamim were of the opinion Asham Tali is designated because you have this fear. Libon Opfo, your heart is pounding. So therefore, there is kedusha from the moment you designate it. That fear existed. So although you realize there was a mistake, nonetheless, there was reason why at that moment there was reason for you to designate it. As opposed to our Mishnah, this is an Asham Vadai. This is where someone designated an Asham Vadai. He said he knows he did the Avera, not out of Suffolk. And then he realizes, oh my gosh, I didn't do the Avera. I didn't need to bring this at all. So this is a complete mistake. This is not a, well, while I designated, I was fearful and therefore maybe it has some Kedusha. So that's why the Mishnah here says, Im Ad Shalom Nishchat. If the animal has yet to be shechted, yetziv yirba eder, everyone will agree, don't worry about anything, let the animal go out and graze with his friends, and there's no kedusha to the animal at all. Even the Chachamim agree to that. The Chachamim had that, the previous Mishnah said the animal has to graze till it develops some mum because there's kedusha there. There was an Asham Toloi. That's where you had this fear when you designated, therefore it was consecrated at that time. In our Mishnah, it's an Asham Vadai. You realize it's a mistake, it's an error. You don't owe this Asham Vadai. So then you didn't have, there was no reason for you to designate this at all. It's a complete mistake. So if the animal hasn't been shechted, what do you do? Yetze v'yirba eder, let it, your putter, you don't have to do anything. There's no kedusha to the animal at all. Misha nishchat. What about when the animal has already been shechted? In this case, on the Asham Vadai, where you realize you don't have to bring it at all. Hareze yikaver, if the animal needs to be buried. Now, we have to distinguish between this halacha and the one when it comes to Asham Tali. The Asham Tali, what we say, the Asham Tali, we said, if after the shechit was already done, so then what do you do? You have to pour out the blood and the animal, and the bust or the flesh has to be burnt. In our mission, you're telling me after you do the shechita, the animal has to be buried. Why the difference? So in the previous Mishnah, at least following the Chachamim's opinion, we understand very well. The Chachamim in the previous Mishnah, when it came to the Asham Tali, said, when you designated it, you did it out of fear, and therefore there's Kedusha to that animal. If there's Kedusha to that animal, the halacha is that it follows the same rule as all Psulei HaMikdashin. Animals that were consecrated, and then you realize there's a mistake, they became disqualified, so then what do? You burn them. That's why the previous Mishnah says that what do you do with the after the Shechita was done, and you realize it's a mistake, you have to burn the buster of that animal. Our Mishnah, though, is where there's no Kedusha at all. After you shechted the animal, it was an Asham Vada that you realized it was a mistake. You don't have to bring. So what do you do with it? So the halacha is you bury it because this is considered chulin shenishchatu ba'azar. The animal's not a kadosh animal at all. It's a chulin animal. What do you do when you bring chulin into the azara? So the halacha is chulin that was shechted in the azara has to be buried. Now, the previous Mishnah happens to have Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Meir, therefore, in the previous Mishnah, should really hold that since there's no kedusha to the animal at all, because it's a mistake, you should have to bury it as well. So that's some discussion in the Achronim how to explain that. One explanation may be that even Rabbi Meir says there's a little bit of a difference between an Asham Toloi and the Asham Vadai. Even the Asham Toloi, I would agree that after you shechted it, it has some shame carbon, and therefore it has to be burnt. As opposed to our Mishnah, where the Asham Vadai has no shame carbon whatsoever, even after the Shechita. This is a complete mistake. So therefore, what do? You bury it like you do when it comes to Chulin Shneishchadu Ba'azara. Then the Mishnah says, what about Nizrak Adam? This is not just after you shechted it. Now you even sprinkle the blood. But remember, this is an Asham Vadai that should not be brought. That's not holy at all. That's Chulin. Says the Mishnah, HaBasar Yetzei Leves HaStreifa, the Basar has to be burnt. So the The Mefarshim point out, the Rav, the Barthur from the Gemara on Daf Chav Dalet points out that this seems to be a contradiction. You just told me that after you shechted it, since this is not a real carbon at all, it's chulin, so that was shechted in the Azar, it has to be buried. Now, in the next halacha, you told me if you sprinkle the blood, remember, this is still not a korban. So who cares that you sprinkle the blood? What are you doing? The buster goes out to be burnt? I understand when it came to the Ashram Taloi. So there, once you sprinkle the blood, and since at the moment you sprinkle the blood, you still didn't know you did the Avera, so it's still a suffix, so therefore you're able to eat the meat. But in our Mishnah, you realize what? After you did the Zrikas Adam, that you didn't need to bring this carbon? So this carbon is still chulin, it's not kadosh at all. So if the previous halacha said it has to be buried, because it's chulin and shenesh chadu ba'azara, so why would after sprinkling the blood, do we burn the basar? We only burn basar that's psuleh hamukdashin, that had some kedusha. Therefore, the Gemara explains that these are actually two different tanoim. Says the Bar Tanur, the Gemara on chavdalon and beis, mefarish demi sheshana la'el arezei kaver, Lo shana hacha habasar yetzei lebeis asreifa. These can't be the these can't be the same Tana. The Kevin de Savar Asham Vadai Chulinhu. Since you, Mr. Tana, the first halacha said that an Asham Vadai, that's a mistake, is Chulin. Velo Kaddish La'olam, it's not Kaddish at all. Eino Nisraf, then you can't burn it, even if you did the Zrikas Adam, and only then you realize you shouldn't bring this carbon. It's not a carbon. So why are you burning it? Must be that this is a second Tana who holds that the Basar goes to the Beis HaSfeifa and disagrees with the first Tana that Yikaver. Obviously, the second Tana says there must be some Kedusha even to an Asham Vada. Then the Mishnah says, Shor HaNiskal Eino Kane, and a Shor HaNiskal too does not follow the same rules as the Asham Talag of the previous Mishnah. And what Shor HaNiskal is an animal an ox that has to be stoned because it killed a person. And what is the Mishnah teaching us? Im ad shelo niskal yetzivir bereder. If what happened was supposed to stone it, but then you realize, oh my gosh, this actually never killed a person, and therefore you don't have to bring this should not be stoned at all. If you haven't stoned it yet, what do you do with that animal? Yetzivir bereder. Let it go out and graze with the other oxen. No problem at all. You don't need to do anything with it. Mishaniskal. And not only that, if after it was, you gave it skila, and it was a mistake, you made a mistake, you're able to get hana. Normally, you're not permitted to get hana from a shor haniskal after, even once it's designated a shor haniskal, once it's convicted, and certainly after the skila was done. But here we're saying it's mutabana. Why? Meaning, you only realize that the animal was innocent, it didn't kill a person, only asked if it was stoned. So, but still, it doesn't make a difference. Obviously, you can't eat it because it wasn't shechted, you stoned it, it's dead, but it's an avela, but nonetheless, it's mutabana because it's not a shor haniska. Egla arufa ain't okay. Egla arufa also doesn't follow the rules of the Asham Taloi. Once again, Egel Arufa is designated out of doubt, we're not sure what happened to this person who died between two cities. And the Bar Tanur here says, She'im ad shelo nerfa. If before you break the back of the neck of the Egla Arufa, Nimsa HaHoreg, you actually find the murderer. So this whole Egla Arufa didn't need to be done. The suffix is, I don't know who the murderer is. I can't identify him. So therefore, we have to go through the whole Egla Arufa process and ceremony. But if you find out who killed this person that was found between two cities, so you don't need an Egla Arufa. What do we do with it? Teitze Vitire Ba'eder. Let it go out, let the Egla Arufa go out, and let it graze with his friends, no problem. The point of the Mishnah here is that there's no Chachamim's opinion here. When it came to the Asham Taloi, we said, well, there's the Chachamim's opinion that when you designate Asham Taloi, it's done out of fear, and your heart is beating, and therefore there's some Kedusha to it. Not true when it comes to an Asham Vadai, not true when it comes to a Shor HaNiskal, not true when it comes to an Egla Arufa. If we find out that I don't need to bring an Egla Arufa, that this Shor doesn't need to be stoned, etc., so then it's then it can go out and graze, and it's not a problem. So that's what it means. Imad Shalom Nerfa, taste of it. You haven't killed it yet? Let it go out in grace. But once you did kill it, tikaver bimkoma, you have to bury it in its place. So we see here that the Egla Rufa really is not exactly like the Shor HaNiskol either. It starts out not being like the Hashem Tolei and being very similar to the Shor HaNiskol. Before you did the breaking the back of the neck, you didn't decapitate it yet, so let it go out in grace. But once you've done so, as opposed to when it came to the Shor HaNiskol, if you ended up giving it, stoning it, it's still much of a hana. Here, it's Aser Bahana. The Egla Rufa, once you break the back of the neck, Tikovi Bekomi, you have to bury it in its place. Sha'al Safek Ba Mitchilasa, because why was it brought to begin with? The purpose is that it be kapara for the Beis Din, for the fact that someone was murdered and they didn't on their watch, so to speak. And therefore, Kipra, if the Kapra was done, Sveika, Kipra Sveika, the Suffake has been atoned for, Vahalchala, and now it's gone. So there is something accomplished by decapitating this Egla. So once you've done that, so then there's no, whatever the Suffake was, even if you found out afterwards at that time, so that took care of you already, the atonement was achieved, and therefore it's gone. There is an opinion, obviously the Mishnah is not following this opinion, that Yiridasa Lenachal Eson Osarta. The Gemara in Kiddush Daf Nun Zayin says, you know what makes this Egla Rufa Osar Bahana? The near going down to the Nachal Eson, to that very rocky valley, Wadi, is where it becomes Osar Bahana. So that means the Isra Hana begins even when the animal's alive, even before it's decapitated. If that would be true, then the Mishnah would not say Imachelo Nerfa Taste of Tira Ba'ed. It would say even if before you decapitate it, if it's brought down to the Nachal Eson, then you have to bury it. Obviously, the Tana of the Mishnah says no, that you have to, once it's brought down, so then it's mutter bahana. If you realize your mistake, you found the murderer, you don't need to go through the ceremony, so then it's mutter bahana, let it go grace. But misha nerfa, once you decapitate it, so then the halacha was done, so then tikaver b'koma, then you can't use it at all, because it's brought for a suffake, the suffake was atoned for. Even the fact that you've realized you didn't need it to begin with, either way, it becomes Asur Bahana at this point. Perek Vav Mishnah Gimel, we mentioned Rabbi Eliezer in the past. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Misnadev Adam Asham Tali B'chol Yom. Rabbi Eliezer says a person can bring an Asham Tali every day. We used Rabbi Eliezer to explain earlier that, what if you realize that an Asham Tali, okay, I don't need to bring this. This is not a problem. Not a big deal. After all, a person could bring an Asham Tali every day. Uvachol Shashir, it's even every hour. Some explain that means even multiple times in one day. Since a person can bring an Asham Tali for, as an Adava, a voluntary offering, because of the possibility that he did something wrong, so then he can do that multiple times in one day. Vihi Nikres Asham Chasidim. This is known as the Asham of the pious. Amru alav al bava ben buti shayam is nadev asham tali b'chol yom chutz me achar yom hakipurim yom echad. They used to say by bava ben buti that he actually follows Rabbi Eliezer. He and Rabbi Eliezer both actually talmidim of Beis Shammai, and they held that the same thing, and therefore he followed Rabbi Eliezer's psak that a person could bring an asham tali every day, and he actually did so, except the Achar Yom, one day after Yom Kippur. What does that mean? So the Bar Tanur says, "Dishar Yom Sashana Hudi Ikal Mechash B'Safek Shum Chet Shema Asa Olah." Every other day that you have to be concerned, maybe I did another error. So then it's fit to bring an Asham Tali on any day of the year, according to Rabbi Eliezer. But Aval Hashta Leikal Mechash Ta Kippur Yom Kippur. A person received atonement on Yom Kippur, so the day after Yom Kippur, he certainly doesn't need to bring an Asham Tali. So there's some debate amongst the Mefarshim what exactly that means. Bava ben Buti, except the day after Yom Kippur. What about the day after, the whole day, second day after Yom Kippur? Why wouldn't he bring an Asham Tali at the end of the day after Yom Kippur? Because what about that day? That day maybe he did something wrong. There's a Safek Chatos that you would have to bring. So some claim, no, the day after Yom Kippur, you don't have to worry about that he did anything wrong. He obviously didn't follow the Medrash that when we say that Sukkos is B'yom HaRishon, you bring a pre-Eitz Hadar, Kabbalist Morim, where the Medrash says that that's the first day of Cheshbon Avonos. The first day we do an Aver after Yom Kippur is Sukkos is 5 days later. No, he's afraid 1 day later. But the first day after Yom Kippur already, he probably didn't do anything wrong. And does it explain that's not what it means? Me'achar Yom HaKippur Mi'achar meant that he didn't bring into the morning. He brought an Hashem Tali for any potential sin he may have committed on that day after Yom Kippur towards the end of the day. That's in fact what he did. And then the Mishnah says, Amar Hamaon Hazeh, and Fahi Bava Ben Buti would say the following. Hamon Hazeh, that's a language of a shvuah. Hamon Hazeh, swearing by the Maon, which is the Beis HaMikdash. You know what? If they would let me, if the rabbis would let me, I would actually bring a karbon even the day after Yom Kippur, or maybe in the morning after Yom Kippur, whatever. However, we understood it. Ela omrim li, but you know what the rabbis told me? Hamtein ashi tikonis in suffix. You have to wait till you enter a suffix. Guess we'll wait to see if that's a real siren. So the rabbi said, Hamtein ashi tikonis in suffix. You wait till you enter a suffix. We have to wait till after, till the end of the day of the day after Yom Kippur, or maybe till the following day. Vachachamim romim, there's another chachamim here. Ein mevi'in asham talui el al davar shezidono kares shishigigos hachatas. Person is not going, does not bring an Asham Tal unless the what we're talking about here is where there's a suffake on that which you did that is basically would be chayiv kares shogeg is a chatos. We don't bring an Asham Tali just as an adava. We don't have that possibility as Rabbi Eliezer has explained. So in fact, we really have three opinions in the Mishnah. We have Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that an Asham Tali is a complete donated korban, and you could do that whenever you want. And Bava Ben Buti, in fact, did that. He brought one every single day. Then we have the middle opinion, the Chachamim, who argue with Bava Ben Buti to say no, meaning Bava Ben Buti really said I would bring them every day, even the day after Yom Kippur. The Chachamim said, not the day after Yom Kippur. He followed the Chachamim, but nonetheless he felt on his own that he could even bring one the day after Yom Kippur. The middle opinion says, no, I agree, it's a donated carbon, but you have to enter a little bit of a suffix. That's the middle opinion. So some possibility that you did something wrong. And then we have the Chachamim, the last Chachamim, the third opinion, which is they say, no, you know, Hashem Tolu is not, is there to suspend any kapara in a case where we have a suffix, but you're not going to bring it to Karban Chov. It's not a Karban Adava. It cannot be offered as a Karban Adava at all.